Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Kim. Brilliant. We are going to have a Bible reading, but it's coming in just one moment. I've got a couple of things to say, first of all. The first is that today we're launching our discipleship pathway. It's a kind of a document we've been working on for about the last sort of year or maybe even 18 months. And I think it kind of distills down a sense of what we're about and the direction we're traveling in the course of the next year or so. So we're going to be preaching through it. And we're really excited that it's finally been published, thanks to Janet and all her hard work putting this together. So there's one copy available for each family. And we've also got some little bookmarks here as well. And there's one of these for each of you. So this is our discipleship pathway, and it's the launch of it today. But to begin with, I just want to remind you of our vision here at St. Mark's. It's to be a family of servants on mission. And we're growing into our identity as being a family, being servants, and being missionaries. And that's what we're seeking to try and to do and to be together. Growing into our identity as part of God's family, seeking to serve like Jesus, and being understood to be missionaries in every area of life. We're sent into the world to demonstrate and declare the good news of who Jesus is. That is our vision here at St. Mark's. And we believe that our discipleship pathway is going to help us to grow into those identities more intentionally. So in a nutshell, our vision here at St. Mark's is about making disciples. And as part of that, call to be a disciple, to be a follower of Jesus, part of that is about making disciples of other people too. So this question of discipleship, we hear lots about it. We hear this word bandied around, but do we know, do we understand what we mean by that word discipleship? Well, sorry, I haven't queued you up. The next slide. Thanks, Rich. So the thing I want to draw to your attention is a great quote here by Dallas Willard. He's done loads of writing about discipleship and formation, and he says, discipleship is the process of becoming who Jesus would be if he were you. The process of becoming more like Jesus if he were you. It's a process of formation. Each one of us are on a journey, I hope, if you're a disciple, trying to become more like Jesus, living more like him, doing the things that he would do. And so today, the launch of this discipleship pathway is a tool that we hope will enable all of us to step into, grow into those identities, to become more of a family, to grow in our servant understanding of being servants, and to grow as missionaries, in order that we are growing as disciples and our ability to make disciples of others. Richard, would you like to come up and read to us our reading this morning?
Our reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to the end. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like someone beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Brilliant. Thank you, Richard. Love this version I've put on the slide. It says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Sounds like that's happening upstairs. All athletes are disciplined in their training, They do it to win a prize that will not that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. So this passage here starts with that rhetorical question about the victor of a race. In Paul's world, there are no medals for those who finish the race and only cross the line. I guess much like today, success, winning, is something that we aspire to, something that maybe we're conditioned to by our society and those around us. But what I want you to notice this morning is that Paul uses this analogy, this metaphor, to encourage us in our walk and life of faith, to be like the victor. Notice, though, that the aim isn't victory so much as a particular way of running the race. He is calling us to run the race in such a way that we discipline our bodies in order that we might win the prize. But he's not calling us to hang out for that. He's drawing to our attention the way that we need to participate in the race rather than the victory or the prize that we might win if we cross the line first. And the comparison to our faith here is not a parallel of victory so much as the kind of effort and dedication required to participate within the race. Paul is urging us to approach our life of discipleship, our life of faith, in the same way that a runner prepares for and competes in the race. It requires discipline, it requires training, it requires commitment. Can you flick over to... Thanks. So just a quick recap from last week, for those of you that weren't here. When we're thinking about this process of discipleship, the two keys that I drew to our attention last week is the first, that Jesus is Lord. And that question, is he currently sitting on the throne of your life? Are you living to serve him, to please him, to be led by him? Is he the one that shapes your decision making, how you spend your time and your money, what you do, where you go, how you relate to people? And the second thing is this life of obedience. If Jesus is really Lord of all, then we need to be cultivating a life of obedience in responding to what it is that God is saying and asking of us. So that was the recap from last week. Jesus is Lord and growing in obedience. This week, I want us to focus on seeing that discipleship always takes place in the context of relationship. How many of you here have got a particular athlete, sports person that you know something of their story, their life history, something of what they do in order to prepare to take part in the sport that they compete in? I don't know about you, but I remember seeing... Oh, I've forgotten his name now. What's the it's shocking, isn't it? The rower. Redgrave. Steve Redgrave. He won 5 Olympic gold medals. They did a kind of a documentary on him, and they showed you what he went through in order to train to win his gold medals. And even when he was diagnosed with diabetes, he would often end up rowing on the rowing machine so hard and so fast that he would pass out and then be sick because he was punishing his body so hard. But nowadays, our sports personalities can't do this on their own. They have a team of people around them. Nutritionists, fitness experts, training partners, the list goes on. In order for someone to claim the prize, whether it's Andy Murray winning Wimbledon, or whether it's a runner running the marathon, Usain Bolt winning the 100 metres, whatever it happens to be, the team of people that you need around you to help support you, encourage you, train you, spur you on is massive. You can't do it on your own. And I guess it's exactly the same when it comes to growing in our Christian faith and growing as a disciple. It's not something you can do on your own. Discipleship always takes place in the context of a relationship. Some of Jesus' first words recorded in the Gospel of John were invitations to discipleship. He said, "Come and see. Follow me." And a response from the hearer was demanded. Those who answered affirmatively, the fisherman, the tax collector, the zealot, they entered into a 3-year friendship with the man from Nazareth, Jesus Christ. Unknowingly, they had signed up for a 3-year discipleship course. You see, effective discipleship always happens in the context of relationship. Jesus didn't just conduct a weekly class for those who wanted to go deeper in their understanding of Scripture and then send them out to figure out how to go about doing that in their everyday life. He shared with the 12 his life. They traveled together, they broke bread together, they shared each other's victories and defeats. Life was their classroom, and the living, breathing Word of God was their teacher. Jesus was intentional in using every occasion as an opportunity to teach, to disciple the people that were around him. A conversation with a woman at the well, a small picnic of 5 loaves and 2 fish, a storm, some interrupting children, a fig tree, money changers at the temple, to reveal to them what mattered to the heart of God. The 12 never had to wonder how the teaching of Jesus affected their daily life. They were seeing it worked out in front of them. Jesus was modeling what it looked like to be a follower, a servant, one who was seeking to live for God, where he was Lord of all. Their relationship with Jesus equipped them to disciple others, following the pattern he had given them. He started with relationships, and Jesus promised his presence would remain with them, empowering them through the Holy Spirit. The quality of our discipleship rises and falls on the quality of our relationships. So here at St. Mark's, we believe the best way of doing this is by joining a St. Mark's community. These are groups of people that are seeking to live out their identity as a family of servants on mission. A community that's seeking to share life together with people, where people learn from one another what it looks like to live with Jesus as Lord in every area of life. These are communities where people are seeking to listen for the voice of God together and grow in obedience to what he's saying to us as individuals and as a community. Communities that look to be led by God into opportunities to serve together and live out our calling as missionaries, those who are sent to declare and demonstrate the good news of who Jesus is. So that first thing is relationship. Discipleship always happens in the context of relationship. And the second thing is practices. Practices that help us to engage in that journey of discipleship and to be formed into the likeness of Jesus. I guess some of you here may be park runners. Some of you put your hands up a little bit earlier. Some of you may be aspiring park runners, but like the cool of your bed a bit too much. Some of you may dearly love to be able to kind of do more exercise, but you struggle to kind of engage. Maybe there's some other sports that you partake in as a way of relaxing or maybe trying to get fit. But runners of any age that are training for any kind of race will tell you that it's all about discipline, perseverance, and fitness. I guess there are some of us that like to enjoy sport from the security and of our sofa. and just watch what's happening on the TV. Maybe some of you go along to football matches or other kinds of sporting experiences. Most of us have seen a sport taking place. You recognise that there's a lot of hard work that goes into training for any kind of sporting experience. Any kind of team, an individual works hard at training, at preparing themselves for the match or the whatever it is that's coming up, the race. What I want us to see this morning is that the way that you prepare and train for a race or a sport requires certain disciplines and practices to have happened in order to get you to a place where you're ready to compete. And in the same way, if we're to be growing as disciples, there are practices that we need to keep on doing in order to help us to grow as disciples. If we go to look at verse 25 from our passage this morning, let me just quickly read that to us. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. It's not the runner's victory nor the prize that really matters. Instead, Paul highlights how athletes exercise self-control and discipline in all things. The Christian athlete trains with a purpose in mind, not aimlessly as a boxer looking to strike the air. But as disciples of Christ, we're on a lifetime journey of being formed into his likeness. It's a journey that requires us to approach it as an athlete approaches preparation for a race. Every athlete follows an extensive training program for a race. I don't know if you've seen some of those schedules online for people that are preparing to run the marathon. I printed one off and got fairly scared just after the first day. So it says here in week one that you've got to be running an easy 8 mile run on the seventh day. And this is in week one. And it goes on for weeks and weeks. And by the end of it, you're expected to be running 4 or 5 times a week between 5 and 10 miles on 4 or 5 occasions during the week. I thought I'll never be doing a marathon. I couldn't think of anything worse than trying to do that amount of running. It's pretty grueling, isn't it? Putting yourself through that kind of training regime. But it's not something that you jump into straight away. You don't think, oh, I'm going to run a marathon, and next week you run outside and run 26 miles. You've got to build up to it over a period of time. It requires commitment, time, and hard work. There's lots of practice. You do lots of shorter runs, and you gradually build up to that 26 miles. Over time, the practice of going out running 4 or 5 times a week gradually becomes a habit. The body becomes used to the fact that actually you're going to be out going out running. It almost craves the next run. It becomes an everyday part of your life, so that running 10 miles doesn't seem such a big deal. You see, practices and disciplines become a habit, and gradually our habits become a lifestyle. It was Aristotle that said, "We are what we repeatedly do." Excellence then is not an act, but a habit. Do you see how our one-off choices become a regular pattern that becomes a habit that eventually becomes a lifestyle? We end up being what we repeatedly do. Hence, our discipleship pathway is a set of rhythms and practices that we can practice together as we seek to grow into the likeness of Jesus. It's kind of like a tool to help you to practice what it looks like to live as a follower of Jesus. And we believe that ideally we should be doing this with other people, not just on our own. St. Mark's communities are a great way of starting to practice this. So, what I wanted to leave you with was a story. Last year, some of you will remember that I was off on sabbatical for a few months. And in the middle of my sabbatical, I was out on a camping weekend with some friends, and we were playing a game of rounders. I'm highly competitive when it comes to any kind of sport, and I wasn't about to allow the children to win. So I was getting quite competitive about how many rounders my team was going to score. At one particular moment, as I just about to, I'd hit the ball, and it had gone quite a long way, actually. I thought it was going to be a rounder in the making. And just as I started running, my Achilles just snapped, just like that. And I collapsed in a heap on the floor. I then spent the next 6 weeks with my foot in a plaster, and my plaster cast was like a ballet dancer. I couldn't weight bear at all on my right leg. After 5 weeks in plaster, I think it was, I was then into a boot that I then had to wear for another 6 weeks. So all told, I was incapacitated and unable really to walk using my leg for about two and a half months. So when the boot came off, all the muscles in my ankle and calf had completely wasted. My foot had been in a position where it hadn't been used. And so I had to learn how to walk again. And after that, I then had to learn how to run again. And as I went back to see the consultant, he made it really clear that, and the physiotherapist, they gave me these exercises that I had to practice on a daily basis. Well, in fact, it was more than that. It was kind of on every 3 hours in the first couple of weeks, in order to strengthen my calf muscles and to build up the muscles again, and in order to stretch out the Achilles. And they told me what I had to do, and they gave me this regime, this exercises that I needed to practice. So I would go home, and I would be pretty good in the morning. I might do them after I woke up. But I wasn't very good at doing them regularly enough. And I recognised that I wasn't going to be able to do this because I kept making excuses for why I shouldn't be doing my exercises. I had something way more important to be doing, getting on with my work, visiting someone, or whatever it happened to be. And so I put off my exercises. And at one point, my physio said that I wasn't making enough progress because I wasn't practicing the exercises that they'd given to me. So I then had to make myself accountable to other people, and I told them that I'd been given these exercises, but that I wasn't very good at doing them. And so I started asking people to ask me the question whenever they next saw me, have you done your exercises today? And some people would text me during the day and say, have you done your exercises today? Have you done your exercises this morning? And gradually, this was a reminder to me that I needed to keep practicing how to learn to walk. Now, once I'd managed to learn how to walk again, then my physio said, now you need to learn how to run, and you need to build up to it gradually. So he told me to download the app, Couch to 5K. And so over a period of about 3 months, I then started learning how to run very, very gradually. And I kept putting it off. For the first sort of 3 weeks, I put it off because I was really scared about going out and running in case I snapped my Achilles again. Eventually, I then started doing this run walking using this app. And finally, I completed my first 5K run a few months ago. So it had taken me well over a year to get back to running after I snapped my Achilles. What I noticed was that there was regular daily practice that I needed to do in order to be able to get back to running. And I think it's exactly the same for each one of us. In order for us to be growing as disciples, growing in our walk of faith, there are practices that we need to do on a regular basis in order that Jesus can form us into his likeness. It's not something that we can do on your own. Well, I think it's really unlikely you can do it on your own. I certainly wasn't able to train to walk and run again without the help and support and the questioning of other people to remind me to do my practices. I think that we need one another. We need to be in relationship with others if we're to be growing as disciples. We need to be practicing these habits in order that they become a natural part of our everyday life. And so, this is what we're going to be looking at, thinking about, and preaching about in the course of the next year. A set of six rhythms and 11 practices that we're going to try and teach through and then try to actually live out together so that we can allow God's Spirit to be at work in us, forming us into His likeness. The first opportunity is going to be practicing what it means for us to practice the Sabbath. Our first rhythm is going to be looking at the Sabbath, what that means, what that looks like, and how we practice it. And on the 29th of September, there's not going to be any 10:30 or 6 o'clock services. Instead, we're going to be encouraging people to be practicing Sabbath together with other people and actually putting it into practice rather than just talking about it. That's the first opportunity. So look out for that. We're going to be starting next week preaching on Sabbath and what that means. There's a whole load of information today. Let me close now in prayer, and then we're going to sing our final song. But just as let's have a little bit of stillness and an opportunity for God to be stirring up in you something particular that He wants you to take notice of this morning.
We are what we repeatedly do. We are going to spend the next year looking at things that we can repeatedly do to make us look like Jesus. But let's take this moment to do a bit of a health check and ask ourselves that question. What do we repeatedly do? What do we repeatedly do in our lives? And are those actions forming us into the likeness of Jesus or not?
So, Father God, thank you that you are here with us, that you cheer us on from the sidelines, that you call us forward to step out and respond to your invitation. And Lord God, we pray that you would show each one of us now what is the next step and how we can respond to your prompting to grow as your disciples now and today. Speak, Lord, because we are here and we are listening. Amen.